Hello, friends. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and welcome to All Things Murder. Welcome to All Things Murder, the show that dives into real true crime cases that inspired pop culture movies and shows we know today. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and have you guys seen that movie X that came out earlier this year? Oh my god, if you haven't, you absolutely should. If you don't mind a few gory blood scenes and a lot of sex. Now, if you haven't seen X, X is about a group of actors who set out to make an adult film in rural Texas, under the noses of their reclusive hosts. But when the elderly couple catches their young guest in the act, the cast finds themselves in a desperate fight for their very lives. Now, the director Ty West never officially claims these two killers were his inspiration, but there are definitely some similarities between the movie and this case. For today, my friends, we'll be discussing Ray and Faye Copeland. Ray Copeland was born December 30th, 1914, in Oklahoma. Now, his family moved around a lot, and he eventually ended up settling in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas. Like many who suffered through the Great Depression, Ray had to drop out of school in the fourth grade just to support his family and their family farm, which left him functionally illiterate for the rest of his life. Ray would commit his first petty crime at the age of 20, stealing hogs from his own father's farm and selling them behind his father's back. Like, dude, why? He continued to steal and scam his way into his first serious crime in 1936, in which he was taken into custody for forging government checks and serving 1 year in county jail. In 1940, he met 19-year-old Faye Della Wilson. Now, Faye was born on August 4th, 1921, and was raised in a dirt floor cabin in Harrison to a very religious family. I'm talking like, God gonna get you kind of religion. After 6 months, Ray made Faye his bride, and a year later, they ended up having their first child. In 1944, they moved, along with their now two oldest children, to California, where there they had another child. This couple would eventually go on to have five children. My uterus hurts just saying that. Now, Ray was violently abusive to all of them. He would beat them with anything he could lay his hands on, which included cattle kickers and cast iron skillets. Now, Faye, being raised a Christian fundamentalist, believed that the husband was the head of the household and divorce was a sin. So that's why she didn't leave him. As she would say, she just bowed her head and took it. Stand there and take it. Fuck that. I'm sorry. My husband is beating me and my children. I am not staying for that. Just no. The year their youngest child was born, Ray was accused of stealing horses from a nearby farmer. Went from hogs to horses. Kicking it up a bit here, people. No charges were filed, but he figured he needed to move on, so he moved the family back to Arkansas. Less than a month into moving, he was arrested for stealing cattle and served a year in the state penitentiary. Like, dude, stop trying to steal shit. It's not working out for you. When he got out, he moved to Missouri. Again, he was arrested for cattle theft. He's not understanding this. The family would keep moving around, and he would keep getting arrested for writing forged checks pretty damn regularly. Finally, they bought a 40-acre farm in Moores Mill, Missouri in 1966. From scam artist to serial killer. Once they moved, that was when Ray hatched the scam to use drifters to pass his forged checks at cattle auctions.
Like, oh, not me, you know?
Now, the scam was, by the time the checks bounced, Ray would have already sold the livestock he pretty much stole, and the drifter would be long gone. He did get away with this at least a dozen times until one of the drifters got caught and ran him out to police, where Ray was yet again arrested and went to jail for forgery. When Ray got out of jail this time, he knew, I know how to tweak it. I know what I gotta do to be smarter, to tweak this scam. So he did. The new and improved scam would be Ray would no longer recruit drifters anymore. Oh no. But instead, homeless men from the mission and shelters in nearby towns, offering them $50 a week plus room and board just to help out around the farm. Now, a lot of the homeless men thought this deal was too good to be true, and y'all know if something is too good to be true, it damn well is. He would have the victims open a checking account in their name with $200 that Ray would give them and use a P.O. box as their address. Once that got set up, they would then go to various cattle auctions together, and Ray would give them the signal which one to bid and how much. When they purchased the cattle, the men would pay with this check that did clear at first. Then Ray would go on to sell the cattle, come back, do it all over again, except this time the checks would bounce and the homeless man would be long gone. One of these men was named Dennis Murphy, and in 1986, he was wanted for writing bad checks at cattle auctions. Uh-oh. Police discovered that the cattle he bought was taken in a trailer owned by, who? You guessed it, Ray Copeland. Police questioned the Copelands about Dennis, but they just claimed, like, he also wrote them a bad check. Like, he just got up and left one day. Weird. Now, the police knew that he was a drifter, so he believed what the Copelands said. Like, dude, look at this dude's rap sheet. I'd be like, we should probably do some digging. That's just me, though. Then, after that sheriff questioned them, another police official, a deputy from a different county, came by looking for another man, Wayne Warner. The Copelands, you know, gave him the same old story. He wrote us a bad check that up and left one day. In all, there were at least 7 men who were wanted for these forged checks at cattle auctions throughout central Missouri, and somehow all of them were missing. Interesting. And they all had a connection to Ray Copeland. Ray and his wife Faye, as his accomplice, murdered at least 5 men. It wasn't until 1989 that a tip cracked the case open. A tip? Like, really? A man named Jack McCormick called the Missouri authorities from Nebraska. Jack McCormick claimed that he had seen human bones on their farm while he worked there, and he also claimed that Ray had tried to kill him. He also told them about all the check cashing scams that Ray had drafted him into. Police were initially skeptical of the claims, but after they finally checked Ray's criminal background record, they decided to investigate. Okay, yeah, about damn time, don't you think? In October of 1989, police went to visit the Copeland farm, armed with a search warrant, dozens of officers, and a team of bloodhounds. Initially, they didn't find any incriminating evidence, but after they further searched, they found the bodies of 3 young men in a nearby barn. As they continued the search, more bodies were found, all killed with a .22 caliber Marlin rifle to the head. Continuing the search at the Copeland's home, they found a trophy quilt made from the victims' garments they wore when they were murdered, and a list of victims, including 7 additional former farm workers, totaling 12 names created by Faye Copeland. Now here's the kicker. Each had an X marked next to their name. You know, that deadly X factor we heard in the movie? Ray and Faye Copeland would be charged with 5 confirmed murders, though authorities believed all 12 names had been victims of the elderly duo. The trial. In November of 1990, Faye's defense team played Faye as the naive, battered woman and claimed her husband had committed these crimes without any of her knowledge. But the jury didn't buy it, and Faye, who was then 69, was sentenced to death by lethal injection for 4 counts and a life sentence without parole for the 5th. When Ray was told that his wife was going to be sentenced, his wife of 50 years, mind you, his response was, "Well, those things happen to some, you know?" Like, damn, ice cold. In March of the following year, Ray, who was then 76 years old, was also sentenced to death by lethal injection for all 5 counts. Ray and Faye Copeland became the oldest couple to receive the death sentence in the United States. In 1993, Ray would die of natural causes in a prison hospital. In 1999, Faye's sentences were deduced from lethal injections to life imprisonment, but she passed in 2002 after suffering from a paralyzing stroke. Now, there are some arguments that Faye didn't deserve to go to jail, since she was abused by her husband, and a court-appointed psychologist stated that she did have textbook battered women syndrome, yet others would strongly agree that she was a willing participant. I mean, I don't know, it's like, kind of up, it's a tough case.
Yes, she did get abused, but I mean, don't help your husband murder some people.
I don't know. That's a big argument. I don't know. And that, my friends, is the story of Ray and Faye Copeland, from con artist to serial killers.
Thank you guys so much for joining me.
I'm Marissa Blackwood, and don't forget to tune in next week for a new All Things Murder, if you dare.
If you're a fan of horror movies or true crime, or perhaps both like myself, don't forget to like and subscribe, and don't forget to check out my TikTok at Sinister Marissa.